This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Purcell. With Thane Maynard this morning is Lauren Howard, staff veterinarian at the Houston Zoo.
Dr. Lauren Howard, welcome to the show.
Hey, Thane. Thanks for having me.
Well, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. Zoo folks know one another, and of course, people love zoos. I know down in Houston, you have more than 2 million visitors in a year, which is a lot. We have about 1.5. And yet, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes they don't know about, and I know one of the things you're working on and others in the zoo business is this big challenge of keeping elephants healthy.
Yeah, it's a very big challenge, both literally and figuratively.
Well, your zoo, like ours, has elephants, and that alone has its challenges increasingly in a modern world as they're more endangered than ever, but also keeping their health in captivity and elsewhere. So tell a bit about your work and the research that's being done.
We at Houston, we have a very robust elephant breeding program. We've been breeding babies for years, and we're very fortunate to have the support of the zoo and the finances to have a state-of-the-art exhibit, trained managers, all that. But we have lost several elephants to elephant herpes virus, or EHV, and we committed both emotionally and financially to this fight over 3 years ago after we lost our last calf, Mac, to herpes virus. And we partnered up with Baylor College of Medicine and their virology department, and getting those human virologists with their very specific, very research-oriented viewpoint melded with our zoo shotgun, do what we can, you know, wide experience approach really was a really cathartic thing. Getting those researchers involved, we've almost probably quadrupled or even more so the knowledge that we have on herpes virus, which has allowed us earlier diagnosis, a few better treatment options, and really high hopes for the very near future for some better diagnostics and even a vaccine.
And my understanding is that, at least to date, it's affected Asian elephants more than African.
Yeah, from what we've seen in looking at the Asian elephant stud book over the past 30-some-odd years, the disease has affected 30 Asian elephants born in the U.S. since 1978, and 21 of those died, and 9 of them survived. Comparing that to African elephants, we haven't done a complete stud book evaluation. To date, there's been 2 documented cases of EHV in African elephant calves. Both survived. The most recent was just within the past couple months at the Baltimore Zoo. And so disease in African elephants is not as well understood, but we're starting to turn some of our resources towards understanding that better as well.
And you know, when you mention those numbers, not even counting the EHV, the idea that when you think of so many zoos in North America that have Asian elephants and African elephants, even that, the numbers are awfully low in terms of imagining will there be elephants in captivity 100 years from now.
It's pretty depressing when you think about it, and they have done some population modeling, again, mainly for Asian elephant studbook, and they found that the population is not self-sustaining, and that if we can't cure this juvenile mortality from EHV and improve our breeding success, the population is going to bottleneck and crash within 30 to 50 years. So it's a very, very real thing that my children and their children may never see an elephant unless they go to Africa or Asia.
Yeah, it's an intriguing time. So you mentioned that through your work with Baylor, as well as cooperating with other zoos and getting info from their animals, that you've learned some things. Do you feel there's progress in reducing the mortality rate?
I do feel we've made quite a good progress in reducing the mortality rate. Our goal has been awareness and preparation, trying to get every zoo or institution that breeds, particularly Asian elephants, but also African, to be aware of this disease, aware of how quickly it can strike and how challenging it can be to treat, and that their best chance at being prepared for this is to know about it and have the drugs ahead of time and know who to call for help. And in that regard, we've had, since Mac's death, only one other death, but we've had, including the African elephant, 4 very, very sick elephants that have actually survived the disease and recovered and are healthy today. So we have not had as many mortalities with it, but we still have had animals being sick from it. So that tells me that these zoos and these institutions are preparing, are getting educated, and are getting what they need together to be able to handle this. What we tell people is that you have EHV. Then the question is not if you have it. The question is, will one of your babies get sick from it? And often that answer is yes. It's just a question of when.
And my understanding is it doesn't always happen in elephant infancy, but typically in juvenile elephants.
Yeah, the peak incidence of illness is somewhere between 1 and 6 years of age, and it's often associated with weaning, which is, can be a time of stress for any animal. And one of our goals of this next upcoming year or two is a better understanding of the immunity of these elephants at this age, and what is it that they're lacking, or what is it that, that is makes them unable to cope with this infection, which appears to be a pretty natural infection since this virus has evolved with these elephants for millions of years.
Hmm. So when you look back, you know, beyond the 30 years of the stud book, but in other zoo records, do you think EHV was a problem in zoos more than that? You could call it 60 years ago, or is it just zoos weren't breeding elephants very much?
That's a really good question, because way back then, I think it would be unlikely that an elephant would be born in the U.S. and even born to a captive-born mom or dad. And that's what we find. The farther away these elephants are removed from being born in natural wild herds, the more it seems that they're susceptible to this. We have not seen it occur in a zoo elephant that was born in the wild. However, it has been documented many times now in India and Thailand that wild elephants become sick and die from this as well. So it's not just a disease of zoos. But whether it's emerging as a new disease or it's something we're just finding now, it's hard to say. Because when elephants died 60 years ago, necropsies weren't performed as intensively, samples weren't collected. So that information, unfortunately, is lost.
Yeah, it's interesting. So when you mentioned that some wild-born elephants coming to the States might have gotten sick, or you mentioned some wild-born in the wild do get sick, is that how EHV got to North American zoos? Is it from the wild population?
EHV came with elephants. So since elephants came from the wild, that's how EHV came into the U.S. Yeah, it wasn't like the elephants got here and got exposed by something else, because mm-hmm. it's only carried by elephants. When this disease first came up, we erroneously thought that it was originally a virus of African elephants, and it somehow switched over to Asian elephants and caused disease, like malignant catarrhal fever can cause, be subclinical in some animals and cause disease in others, and also other herpes virus, like herpes B in macaques, does not make macaques sick, but it can make other monkeys and humans very, very ill. That was our initial supposition, but a lot of research we've done in the past few years has told us that's incorrect, that this virus has been with elephants for millions of years, and when we brought elephants into the U.S., we brought the virus with them. But elephants have obviously evolved with the virus and have learned, developed immune systems to live with it, except in these cases of both our zoo elephants and these wild babies that are dying from it.
Mm-hmm. And it is more complex, of course, because elephants, both Asian and African, are highly endangered due to the ivory trade. So tell me what you think of the idea of more importation, that while that might not stop EHV, it might help bolster captive elephant numbers.
As far as improving the sustainability of the North American Asian elephant population, importing elephants is certainly one of the only ways that we will be able to do that. Even if we stop all deaths from EHV, we really need to ramp up our breeding. And unfortunately, we don't have, our population is getting older, so we're losing those breeding age females. So importing elephants from Asian countries would certainly help that. And the ivory trade is, you know, primarily in Africa, but these Asian elephants are not exactly safe either, because there's a lot of habitat destruction and human-elephant conflict. So there may be elephants that are threatened where they are that could come to the U.S. and have a safer life.
And as you and I both know, since our zoos feature big elephant programs, they're among the most popular animals at zoos. People expect to come and see them. So thank you for the work you and your team are doing on the serious behind-the-scenes side of zoo science to ensure that we'll have them 100 years from now in captivity.
No problem. You know, we like to do our part to make sure they're going to be around for a long time.
Absolutely. Well, Lauren, thanks very much.
Thank you.
My guest has been Dr. Lauren Howard from the Houston Zoo. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.
By the way, Thane and his interviews will continue on the new Cincinnati Edition, and you'll continue to hear his 90-second naturalist bits on the air as well.